a meaningful life. It is about that abundant life that Jesus promised us, that he came to give us. We're going to go to John chapter 15 this morning, and I want you to realize that this is Jesus himself speaking. I mean, if you got a red letter edition, it's there in your Bible. You people that all read your Bible electronic devices, some of you are thinking, what's a red letter edition? Well, you know, they used to make a red letter edition where it's it. Anybody got an electronic device with it in red? I was wondering if they do. Oh, cool. Shows what I know. Some of you think preacher's old. Here we go. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus tells us that he is the true vine and that we are the branches. And we need to be reminded again and again that Jesus is the source of life. There is no real life apart from Jesus. I want to remind you of this verse we looked at in the very first week of this series, 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It can't be any simpler, any clearer than that. If we've got Jesus in our life, we've got life. But apart from Jesus, there is no real life. There is no meaningful life. Last week, the message was about living a life of purpose. None of us are an accident. No, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a plan for us, and he wants to use us in this world. When we fulfill the purpose of God in our life, we have a meaningful life. This passage in John 15 reminds us of part of that purpose of God is that we are co-laborers together with him. In this passage, we see that as we abide in Jesus, we bear much fruit. And we're going to talk about that today. That fruit in our lives is the impact that we have on others. It's the impact that we have in this world, that we have even on eternity. A life that impacts others is a meaningful life. You know, when you read through these eight verses in John chapter 15, you see that Jesus is very serious about his followers bearing fruit. In fact, there's some difficult language here and maybe some things that trouble some people's theology. And all I got to say about that is that if it troubles your theology, well, your theology needs some work because the scripture's always right. But Jesus says that we are to be fruitful. And we as a church want to have a great impact. We want to be fruitful. We want to see lives changed. And somebody brought to my attention that I haven't talked about this much lately, so I want to say it this morning. Our vision as a church is to make disciples, is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. That's our vision. But you see, it's all about bearing fruit. It's all about changed lives. It's about changing lives for eternity. I encourage you this morning that the fruit of our life is what our life is producing. It is the evidence of what we are. A good tree brings forth good fruit, that impact on the world around us and other people. You see, our family, our marriage, raising godly children, the way we do business, the way we work even, but the way that we treat other people, all of those things, it has to do with the fruit of our life. Not to mention our witness and our ministry, whatever way that we're involved in the work of the Lord, that is all the impact that we are having on lives and on eternity. That's what he's talking about here when he's talking about fruit. However God uses us. See, you might travel the world as a missionary. You might work in the children's department, or it might be that you're just loving your neighbor as yourself. But you see, God uses those things to bring fruit, to change lives. We're not just impacting our generation right now. No, you see, sometimes we need to realize we don't always see the ripple effect. And especially when it comes to spiritual things, a lot of times we don't necessarily see the fruit. We don't necessarily see the harvest immediately. But a lot of the time there is a ripple effect. When one person's life is touched, when one person's life is changed, you don't know how many other people they will impact. You don't know how many people in the generations that follow, if the Lord tarries, will be impacted. But we want to live a life that impacts others. That is a meaningful life. When this life is over, the only thing that's really going to matter in eternity is people. That's really the only thing that matters now. We need to understand that if we're impacting the lives of other people, then we're impacting eternity. We're doing what God wants us to do. He wants us to be fruitful. Listen to what he says in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may be more fruitful. See, those that don't bear fruit, those that merely profess to know him, those that are just nominal Christians, they have religion but no real relationship, no evidence of a changed life, he takes away. There's a lot of believers today that used to be fruitful. They used to be involved in the work of the ministry, but for one reason or another, they don't really do much for God anymore. They're not really involved anymore in the work of the Lord. And I want you to hear this plainly. As we read this passage, you see that it is never God's will for us to become less fruitful. It is always God's will for us to become more fruitful. If you're fruitful, he says, you get pruned so you can bear even more fruit. You know, a lot of the time when people talk about doing something for the Lord, it seems like there's this pushback because, hey, we're all already so busy. I mean, I got 24 hours in the day. They're all taken up. I ain't got time to do something else. But you see, when we look here at the Lord saying that you'll be pruned, he's not just talking about adding. He's talking about sometimes there is waste in our lives. Sometimes there is fruitless activity. We can get just so busied up with all kinds of things and activity, but so much of it doesn't have any lasting fruit. It's just a waste when it's all said and done. You can be super busy. You can be working yourself to the bone and yet not really accomplishing anything of real meaning in this life. Not to mention the one to come. We just crowd our schedule up with all kinds of activity. You know, it's amazing. We have what we call time savers. A lot of these electronic devices can be used to save time, but it's amazing how they somehow or another end up being time wasters. Jesus says to the disciples in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, when he talks about pruning and then he talks about cleaning here, it's the same principle. He's telling them that because of the word that he's spoken to them, they've been pruned. They've been cleaned. And we need to understand this, though, that it is the word of God that prunes us. Now, you know, sometimes things happen in our life that maybe will help us straighten out some issues in our life. Maybe sometimes events happen and there's an area of our life that was a big waste and that gets wiped out. But here's what I want you to understand. The primary way that God wants to prune us, to clean us, is through the Word of God. He shows us the things that are a hindrance to our fruitfulness. He wants us to become more fruitful. See, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, He wants you to become even more fruitful. Guess what? It is the Word of God that's going to show you things in your life that are keeping you from being fruitful. It's going to show you things in your life that you need to do so you can become more fruitful. That's what the Word of God does in us. He says, the Word that I've spoken to you, you're already clean. And we just need to realize that it'll correct you, it'll rebuke you, it'll discipline you so you can be more fruitful, because that's what our Father wants. Now, really, we want that too, because there's a meaningful life when we're being used of God. When we're touching the lives of others, that's a meaningful life. We don't want the pruning, but we need to understand that when God speaks to us, when He shows us things, oh, it is so that we can grow, so that we can become more fruitful. And when we do that, we find real fulfillment. Jesus tells the disciples, you're already clean through the Word I've spoken to you. And I just want you to hear this now. You see, He'll speak to you and show you things that need to go, things that need to be changed, and things that you need to do. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower, just two verses of it actually, from Luke chapter 8. The parable of the sower is a parable that Jesus tells to show how that the seed of the Word of God has to be planted into a good heart so that it will be retained and bring forth fruit. We're talking about fruit this morning. And I'm telling you that it is through the Word of God that cleans us, that prunes us, but it's also through that Word that, as we cherish it, it produces a harvest in our life. Now, he talks about four types of soil, and I'm not going to talk about all four of them this morning, but I just want to focus on verses 14 and 15 from Luke chapter 8. He says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, they go out and they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. He says, cares, riches, and pleasures will choke out the seed of the Word of God and keep you from being fruitful. We want to bear more fruit. I'm telling you, the Word of the Lord, I'm just giving you an example this morning. The Word of the Lord will show you things in your life that are keeping you from being more fruitful. Here's three big things that keep a lot of people from being fruitful. Jesus says, these weeds. See, you can be in church, you can hear the word, but if you allow these weeds, thorns, they'll choke out the word in your life and keep you from being fruitful. He says, cares, riches, pleasures of life, cares. Always worried, always upset, always troubled about things. I want to tell you that person is not fruitful for God. Their mind, their heart is being distracted with all kinds of negative things. You know, when you get overcome with worry and anxiety, at the very least, you end up being unkind. You're difficult, not to mention it's hard for you to hear God when you're all worried and upset about everything. See, worries, those cares of this life, it'll choke out the seed, keep you from being unfruitful. He said, riches, that desire for riches. You know how strong that is in our country, where people just run after material things. It's always about making more money. It's always about more, always about more. And so often, the work of the Lord gets pushed aside by that desire for riches. I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with you having stuff. there's something wrong with stuff having you. And for so many people, it becomes a burden. It can even become a god in their life. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. But for a lot of people, here's the weed that begins to choke out their fruitfulness, is that desire for riches. And last, he talks about this desire or the pursuit of pleasures of this life. And that one is really strong in our world today also. So many people just always chasing after pleasure, always in the pursuit of that. I mean, it's all about their leisure time and getting to the weekend so they can enjoy and so they can have fun. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure. No, my Bible tells me that in his right hand there are pleasures evermore. But the problem is when we seek after pleasure more than we do God, when we're allowing that to become something more in our life than it should be, no, we got to be careful that we don't allow anything to keep us from being fruitful or to make us less fruitful. Because this is what really matters. This is a meaningful life, is when you make a difference in somebody else's life. The devil will try all kinds of things to keep you from being fruitful. Not really a big deal if he can't take you out, if he can just keep you from being fruitful. I mean, as long as you don't impact anybody else's life, big deal. But I'm telling you, when we start really living the way God wants us to every day, we're going to touch the lives of others. We are advancing the kingdom of God. We are advancing on the gates of hell. But we got to be fruitful in our life and not allow anything to hinder us, to keep us from that. One of the things that I've seen so many times that hinders people and keeps people from being fruitful is unforgiveness. Past hurts that have happened, and they've never really gotten over it. They still carry it to this day. In fact, a lot of people say, well, you know, I used to be involved, but this happened to me, and I don't want to get involved anymore. Unforgiveness. Not being willing to turn that over to God. It'll keep you from being fruitful. Let me give you a great example from the scripture of a man who was willing to forgive. And because he did, God used him to impact the whole known world. I'm talking about the man Joseph. A man who was wronged by his own family. A man who was wronged by others. Terrible things done to him, put in prison falsely, forgotten by those that he'd helped. And yet Joseph, somehow, he didn't become bitter, but he stayed close to God. And at the right time and in the right place, God put him in a place where he could make a difference in the whole world. He told his brothers later, he said, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good, to the saving of many lives as it is today. Because of Joseph, God used him to provide food during a famine that affected the whole known world. And I just want you to understand that if he would have become bitter, if he would have turned, you know, sour and gotten all bent out of shape over it, he would never have seen God use him that way. We need to be careful that we're always quick to forgive. Now, I'm just giving you an example. Again, there's so many different ways the enemy might try to keep you from being fruitful. But lots of people can identify with this. In fact, all of us have had to deal with forgiveness. I remember when I was just 18 years of age, I was called to the ministry. I was so excited about serving the Lord and being used of God. And when I was 19, I met with my pastor, and he told me, he said, Mark, I want you to get involved with our junior high ministry. I want you to take charge of that and be over our junior high. And so I was teaching their Sunday school class. I was doing fellowships with them and Bible study with them, and things were going great. But at some point, He put an elder over all of the youth ministry, and that elder just kind of pushed me out. He worked me out and got me out of that place and put somebody else in. And you know, it broke my heart. I mean, I cried like a baby. But I decided that I was going to keep my eyes on Jesus and trust the Lord. By the time I was 21, I was a youth pastor. And then when I was 22, I became a full-time junior high youth pastor, just like I had believed was going to happen. God fulfilled that in His time, in His way. But I had to, you see, I couldn't get bitter over the things that happened. And I've learned that again and again, that in ministry, we can't get bitter over the wrongs and the things where somebody's offended us or somebody said something. I'm just telling you, don't let that keep you from being fruitful for God. Another one that's really common in the body of Christ is when people get a critical spirit. They, instead of bearing fruit, they become fruit inspectors. Now, I realize Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. But what I'm talking about is where people go around, you know, they're just looking for others, looking for something that somebody else is doing wrong. And usually they find fault. You see, if you don't do anything, well, there's nothing much to find fault with. They find fault with people that are doing something. They find fault with people that are involved and that are serving the Lord and working for the Lord. That critical spirit, it'll keep you from bearing any fruit. David's first wife, Michal, that he got as reward for killing Goliath, turned out to be not such a great reward. But when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he danced before the Lord with all his might. And Michal saw him, his wife saw him, and she mocked him and she ridiculed him. She was critical of him, the way that he danced before the Lord. And the Bible tells us this about Michal, that she was barren the rest of her life. And I'm just telling you that when we get a critical spirit, it'll keep you from being fruitful. It'll keep you from impacting other people for eternity. We've got to keep those kind of things out of our life and don't allow the enemy to use something like that to keep us from what we're supposed to be doing. It can happen real quickly, real easily. If you don't watch yourself, you'll find yourself judging somebody else instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing. Do you see how that person's worshiped the Lord? That just looks weird to me, the way they're waving their hands around. As you stand there like a bump on a log, sit there like a whatever. You know what I'm saying. It's two monks on a trip came to a river, and they had to cross it. An older monk and a younger monk. There was a woman standing there in fine clothes, and she couldn't cross the river without ruining her clothes. So the younger monk, he takes her on his back and carries her across the river. And then he puts her down, and they go on their journey. And after an hour or so, the older monk says to the younger monk, he says, surely it was a sin for you to carry that woman across the river, because we're not supposed to even touch a woman. The younger monk just kept walking, and after a few minutes, he said, well, you know, I put her down over an hour ago, and you're still carrying her. And I'm just telling you that we need to focus on helping people and ministering to people, not criticizing what somebody else is or isn't doing. It'll keep you from being fruitful. So how can we live a life of impact? How can we really make a difference in this world and the one to come? Well, first and foremost, we have to abide in Him. Verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He tells us that if we're going to be productive, we have to abide in the vine. And this is the most important thing. It comes back to this. It is your relationship with Jesus. It is being close to Jesus. You can't give somebody else what you don't have. I'm just telling you, it has to be something that's fresh and real in your life, that you're spending time with Jesus, abiding in Him. That means you stay in Him. It doesn't mean that you talk to Him one time. No, it means that you have an ongoing, real relationship with Jesus. That's the only way that you can really make a difference in somebody's life for eternity. See, we can say the right things and yet it have no impact. Somebody told me one day that, yeah, I'm just going to jump out here. They told me one day that Michael Jackson was anointed. I said, wait a minute. There's a difference in talent and gifting and anointing. Because you can have all the talent and gifting in the world. You can say all the right stuff religiously and even look good and even do some good, I'm talking about in your activity. But without Jesus' life flowing through you, it will have no fruit, no impact on eternity. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Now, I always clarify, what you can do a whole lot of stuff. Everybody does things every day without Jesus. He's talking about anything meaningful, anything that impacts eternity, anything that's going to change somebody else's life. Apart from Him, we can't do anything. It's all about that relationship with Him. And you know what? Being fruitful is not really hard. In fact, I believe it's natural when we abide in Him. But if our efforts outweigh our relationship, that's where we get in trouble. The fruit-bearing process, it's not really complicated. He's the vine, we're the branches. And so if we abide in Him, if we fellowship, if we commune with Him, then we're going to have that life flow in us and it's going to produce fruit in our life. But apart from Him, we can't do anything. See, apart from Him, we got to come to a place of absolute dependence upon the Lord. Right. That it's never just about our ability, what we can do. No matter how strong we might think we are or how weak we might think we are, it is His ability. It's His strength. It's Him giving us the right words to say. You know what? In the natural, none of us knows what's in somebody else's heart. We can't read their mind, although we might have some good ideas sometime. But I'm just telling you that our Lord knows exactly what somebody else needs to hear. If we just abide in Him and we allow Him to order our steps and use us that way, I'm telling you, we can bear much fruit. In verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And I'm just going to say it one more time. Religion without relationship is always lifeless. Staying close to Jesus is the only way to have a meaningful life. The next verse, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What an amazing promise. It's one of those promises that a lot of people have tried to pull out of context and just use for their own selfish desires. And I won't tell you it won't work that way. It'll just disillusion you. I mean, he says, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But he's talking about in this context of bearing fruit. He's talking about those who abide in Him and His words abide in them. You read it right there. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. I'm just telling you that it's not hard for God to do a miracle. Right. See, he can do anything. He knows where the fish are, right? I mean, he told the disciples, cast the net on the other side of the boat, and they had a great catch of fish. Listen, when you're talking about people, he knows where the fish are. He knows how to touch those hearts. He knows what needs to be done. And whatever we ask, whatever we desire, he says he'll do it. Amazing promise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, it's not just about striving more. It's about abiding more. Just let him work through us. Sometimes people go through the motions of prayer. You know, that's where we tell God what he needs to do today. But we need to allow him to speak to us. We need to allow him to speak to us through the word. Remember, he told the disciples, you're already clean through the word that I've spoken to you. We need to allow him to speak to us and show us what needs to change in our life so we can be more fruitful. In verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So you will be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. He said he wanted us to bear fruit. Then he said he wanted us to bear more fruit. And here he says that we bear much fruit. I'm just telling you, he wants us to be bearing more and more fruit in our life. That day by day as we grow in the Lord and we're learning what it really means to be like Jesus and following him with all our heart. See, we just keep bearing more fruit and more fruit. He said, and this, by this, our Father is glorified. Just to clarify the kind of fruit we're talking about fruit that you can only have in your life if you abide in Jesus. Because he said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. The kind of fruit that we're talking about is fruit that glorifies the Father. By this, my Father is glorified. And then he says, so will you be my disciples. You see, this is what he expects of his disciples, that we are always serving the Lord, always about the Master's business, always having an impact on the lives of others. It's not just about us getting to heaven. No, it's how many lives we can touch and impact on the way. The things of this world so often will end up leaving you empty. But when you're a part of lives being changed, that's a meaningful life. Jesus ministered to a woman at the well in Samaria, and the disciples had gone into town to get lunch, and they come back and they say, Lord, you need to eat something. And Jesus' response to that, John 4:34, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And I just want you to see this, that so often we get distracted by the things of this world. But here's what Jesus said satisfied him. This is what fulfilled him. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And if we would just realize that when we're being used of God that way, listen, it's way better than lunch. And I like lunch, but it's way better. Oh, when you know that God has used you to touch somebody else's heart, that's a meaningful life. If we're going to impact others, we have to do something. We have to take responsibility. This is just one little example of the need for us to do something. Statistics show that 40% of Americans are considered to be born again. And of that 40%, less than half invited someone to go to church in the last year. Less than half invited somebody for the whole year. we can do better. I mean, there's lots of ways every day. I think I've explained that already. There's lots of ways every day that we bear fruit, that we impact others' lives. But what a simple thing to invite somebody to church. Here's what Jesus said: the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Few workers. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field. And so that has to be our prayer focus. We're praying the Lord to send laborers into the field because there's so many that need to know the Lord. And you know, in this great harvest, we need to be ready. Who's going to minister to the alcoholic? Who's going to minister to the drug addict? If God brings another 20 or 30 children into this church, who's going to step up and work in the children's ministry? I'm just telling you, you see, this harvest, we got to be ready for what God wants to do. When new families come through our door, who's going to help connect with those people? I mean, let's talk straight. Listen, some churches, they might have some pastor that's so entertaining, those people come back just to hear that pastor. We ain't that church. Y'all shouldn't laugh so heartily. Listen, we're this church. We love people. We connect with people. That's who we are. And I'm not saying we're not doing it. I'm just saying we got to be ready. We got to do it even more fruitful. That's who we are. Amen. You know, when I think about all the people that have impacted eternity other than the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul is a standout that he lived to make a difference, to impact the lives of others. In Philippians 1:22, he says, if I'm going to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. However long I'm here. Listen, if you're older, you need to say, however long I'm here, I'm going to keep bearing fruit. Right. Amen. That's what the Bible says, even in old age, still fruitful. But you see, whether you're a young person or somewhere in between, we need to realize the time is limited. We need to make the most of it every day. You don't know how long you have, but why waste a day when it could have been meaningful, when it could have had an impact on eternity? So if I'm going to go on living in this body, it's going to mean fruitful labor for me. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come.